Hello and welcome. I want to thank you for joining us for our weekly message. This past Sunday was Mother's Day, and Pastor Sherry led a panel discussion with three moms, Agnes, Carolyn, and IJ. The four of them shared lessons they've learned along the way and gave incredibly valuable insight and information for us all.
But inasmuch as Mother's Day brings appreciation, love, and laughter, for countless others, it also brings deep, gut-wrenching pain and a reminder of loss for what could have been, what is no more, or what never will be. So in addition to saying Happy Mother's Day to everyone, I would like to especially acknowledge and recognize these mothers. To the mothers of adoption, those of you who carried your babies and then gave them up. I am sure this was a difficult decision, and I'm sure your heart was torn in two when you allowed someone else to have your wee baby and gave someone else the gift of being called mommy. Thank you for your sacrifice. I'm the recipient of such sacrifice, and if I could let my birth mother know one thing, it would be that I'm so grateful for her courage in even allowing me to be born, for her selflessness in giving me up when she knew she would struggle to be able to care for me the way she wanted to and the way a child would need. Mothers of adoption, you are dearly loved by those who, because of your sacrifice, are able to take a child into their home and into their heart who is not of their body. And you are dearly loved by God, who sees your tears, who knows your heart, and who hears your cries. To the mothers of longing, women facing infertility or those who wish to be married and have a family, but for whatever reason that has not been your reality, you need to know that God knows your heart. He sees your tears, he hears your cries and your prayers. I do not know why God allows you to ache and long so deeply without granting your request, but I know that he loves you and he is with you. Know that we ache and long with you, and that as a community we want to share your burden and your load. Please know that your story matters, that this is a safe place, and we would love to pray with you and for you, and to walk this road alongside you. Mothers of longing, you are dearly loved. To the mothers who grieve, you who've lost children to miscarriage or premature birth, or whose children have predeceased you due to illness or tragedy, or to those who are walking through life following an abortion, I struggle to find words to comfort you, for it seems there really are no words that bring healing. For in this life, there is no turning back of time or changing of circumstance. There is only this. Mothers of grief, God knows your pain. He sees your tears. He hears your cries. Mothers of grief, your story matters. Your heartache matters. And we want to walk alongside you in your grief. May you find peace in God, our comforter, and know that you too are dearly loved. And finally, to the mothers who journey, you whose beautiful child has a significant disability or debilitating illness, mothers with a child that may never grow up to leave home and begin their own life and family. And even though we know you love them unreservedly, you also may mourn. For your daily dose of reality knows that your child's life will be so much different than what you had dreamed for them as you prepared for their arrival or before tragedy befell them. Dear journeying mothers, who sacrifice in ways we will never comprehend, God knows your heart. He sees your struggle and your perseverance. He sees your tears. He hears your prayers. And he loves you and your dear child completely. To the many women who are watching today who live these stories every day, know that you are not invisible and you are not alone. Your story matters. And no matter your story, God is with you in the midst of it. And that brings me to our teaching time today. I've invited three mothers in various stages of mothering to join me this morning to talk about how God has been with us and continues to be with us in the midst of our mothering. I'd like to welcome Agnes, mother of three, grandmother of 11, and great-grandmother to 6. And also we have IJ, who has some teenagers and some 20-somethings, and we have my friend Carolyn as well, who has 4 children ranging in ages from 10 down to 4. As I was putting this together, these ladies were all very quick to tell me that they had no real wisdom or advice to pass on, and I echo that thought myself. But here today, we can share our stories of how God has sustained us, encouraged us, and lifted us through the years. And we pray that today, that will encourage you as well. Thanks, Mark. So the first question I have is for Agnes. Agnes, the active years of raising children is exhausting and time-consuming. How did you find time for connecting with God when your kids were young, and how has it evolved for you as you and your children have gotten older?
Well, first of all, Sherry, I have to just give a little bit of background. It was but for the grace of God, through the prayers of my faithful mother, that the Holy Spirit haunted me and hounded me till I finally surrendered to his wonderful saving grace at the age of 20. And Peter and I were married in 1962, and we were both very young to the faith. And we took on the scripture verse, Joshua 24:15, and we made that a commitment. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so how did I grow under that? First of all, we always, when we moved, we would first of all find a Bible-teaching church and commit ourselves to that. And in that area, we grew in the women's ministry and through the... And also today, as we were singing the hymns, those are wonderful ways for me to worship him. There are so many aspects of us, of worshiping, through walking and personal prayer meeting, prayer times. My daughter told me the other day, she remembers when she would get up to go to school, I was sitting at the kitchen table reading my Bible and praying. So that encouraged me. I'd kind of forgotten that part. And then through the years when I was a young mom, the Christian women's clubs were very popular at that time, and I was very involved in the luncheons and the Bible studies. And you know that when you're a teacher, you always learn much more than the student. So my faith was challenged and grew through that. Now, 59 years later, my children are married and have their spouses and 11 grandchildren, which most of them are married, and 6 great-grands. So lots of joys and challenges throughout life. Philippians 4, I am called to rejoice always, be tender-hearted to all, and to not be anxious, but give it to God, and he will give you peace of mind. And I've been told that when you don't know how to pray, pray scripture over your children. So of late, I have been praying the Lord's Prayer very diligently, and I zero in, I dwell on a couple of phrases. The one is, thy will be done, and deliver us from the evil one. And at that point, I name all my children and grandchildren and great-grands and others that we have adopted into our family. I lift them up to the Lord, that he will do his will in their lives, and he will deliver us from the evil one. The other day at Easter, my granddaughter asked her 3.5-year-old son, she was telling him the Easter story, and she said to Maddie, she said, where does Jesus live? And he puts his little hand over his heart, and he said, in my heart, Mommy. The greatest reward is seeing faith passed on to the next generation.
Thank you, Agnes. Thank you. That is so true. Well, over the last couple of weeks when we've been chatting, these ladies have shared some of their experiences and stories with me. And IJ, I was wondering if you could tell me about a time when you were feeling overwhelmed as a mom and how God met you in your need.
Thank you, Sherry. For me, it's okay when we moved to Canada. Chike didn't move with us immediately, so he was moving back and forth, shuttling Nigeria and here. So I was only with the kids. So it happened that the time we moved was actually winter season. And we never bargained that it was going to snow so bad. So that year, we had this, there was a blizzard. And of course, before I drive out, I'll have to shovel. I'll have to shovel the snow. So, and Chucho and I went outside thinking that is something that we could do. And we shoveled and shoveled and shoveled. And the snow, it was like it wasn't ending. So at some point, Chuchu told me, "Mom, I'm tired." And bear in mind, at the time, Chuchu was 11. So he was actually a kid. So he said, "Mom, I'm really tired. I need to go in." I was like, "Are you sure? How can you go in? How can you go back to the, okay, am I the only one that will shovel the snow? Okay, in that case, I'm going to shovel the snow and I'm going to be sick for 2 weeks. Is that okay with you guys?" So that was when I knew that God is at work, because at that point, after we had the conversation, he encouraged me by saying, "Mom, we're going to get through this." So he went inside, got his sisters, handed them their little shovels. And in as much as it took us another 2 hours to shovel the snow, because I looked at myself, I was like, I didn't begin to come here to start shoveling snow, because back home in Nigeria, possibly you have somebody that would be ready to do it for you. So for me, I learned that even in those times that, you know, it might sound so little, it's snow and everybody shovels, but God still used my kids to encourage me that, you know what, we're all in this together, and as long as you will trust me, I will take you through this.
Thanks, IJ. And I'm glad you're here with us in Canada, even though there's snow for you. Carolyn, you shared a deeply personal story with us as well, and about how God has lifted you up and sustained you. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. As Sherry mentioned earlier, I have 4 kids. My youngest is 4. I'm going to cry. She, when she was born, it was I had an emergency C-section, and we found out, we found out right at birth that she had Down syndrome and a heart defect. And honestly, when my husband and I heard about it, we weren't devastated or anything. We were surprised, but we knew we'd get through it. We knew God had a plan with this. And I think through the course of the next week, both of us had a chance to process it in different ways. And honestly, through that whole week, I felt so close to God. And just was so thankful that I knew she had 3 older siblings who were going to love her and teach her and take care of her. And also the doctors and nurses at the hospital were so supportive. We had people come in from the community and just let us know of all the different support opportunities that were out there. And just felt like God had put us in this place for this time with Annabelle. And there's so many just programs within Calgary especially that we have been able to access and all that. And so just continuing through that, it was a big learning curve. I'd already, you know, I knew how to be a mom. I think you do. But just learning how to navigate the Down syndrome and the heart defect. She had open heart surgery at 4 months. And again, we just felt so close to God at that time, knowing that he was going to sustain us through this. The other really neat thing was, I knew, like I said, we found out at birth about her Down syndrome, but we gave her a name before that, and her name, Annabelle Faith. We had the middle name Faith, just trusting that no matter what happened, like I had a miscarriage before her, so we gave this baby the middle name of Faith, trusting that God would, whatever happened, it was in God's hands. We had faith that he would sustain us and any other children through that. And it's just the neatest thing that her name had that faith in there, that now through her life, we know that God will will keep her and guide her and sustain her. And I pray that someday, in her own way, she will understand who God is and have that close relationship with him. And we love her so much. She's such a joy to our family. She's hilarious, and she's learning, and she's so cuddly. She loves to give all of us hugs, and she just loves her older siblings, and they've already promised me they would be with her and take care of her, whatever happened to. So anyway, I hope I, anyway, that's, so that's been a really big part of our life in the past few years with Annabelle, and our knowing that God is there with us, and he has a plan for her life and for us.
Thanks, Carolyn. And we all love Annabelle. She's a joy, not just to your family, but to everybody who ever gets a chance to meet her. Well, just to transition a little bit, I just want to talk a little bit about some of the faith traditions that maybe you've enjoyed as a family. IJ, tell me about a faith tradition that you've done with your kids as they've been growing up.
Okay, I grew up having morning devotion with my siblings and my mom, because my dad was a reverend in an Anglican church. So it's been like that for me. That's the only thing I know how to connect with my family more. So I grew up with that, so I transferred that to my family. So we do morning devotions every morning, in as much as a kid, you know, it was a little bit overwhelming for us, because sometimes we used to ask my mom, why would you wake us up at that time? Why can't we have enough sleep? You know, and it didn't really make sense at the time, because sometimes half the time we're sleeping, and some days our dad will come in, meet us sleeping, and it wouldn't be funny, you know. So we'll all get in trouble. So the same thing I transfer to my kids, and in as much as sometimes it's overwhelming for them as well, because I felt what they felt as kids, as in, you know, it was too much for them because they felt that they should be sleeping. But then it made so much sense, because right now they all got it. They all understand that it's important. And another tradition we enjoy is we wait on the Lord together. Like if there's an overwhelming situation we're going through, we'll all come together and we'll fast about it and pray about it.
Awesome. Thanks, IJ. Carolyn, you shared a couple of traditions with me as well. Why don't you share them with our congregation?
Yeah, we, at Christmas time, during the Advent season, a few years ago, I found the Focus on the Family Advent calendar that we would use, and it's pretty neat because it would go through, you just stick little people onto the scene, but it goes through all the Old Testament prophecies all the way through has Simeon and Anna and John the Baptist and everybody up to where Jesus' birth is. So it's really neat to get the whole picture and the whole story. So we did it for a couple years, and I thought, well, let's try something different this next year. But we all missed it so much that we just had to come back to this one. So I have it all laminated and everything, so we can reuse it every year and just revisit that story of Jesus. So it's been a pretty neat Christmas tradition we do.
Thanks, Carolyn. I love Advent too. One of the things that we did with our kids, and this was more for when they graduated high school, we would have a dinner where the grad would invite all of the people who had been a significant mentor-type person to them, and we would have them over for dinner. And we'd have a great time just celebrating the grad. And then after the dinner, we would sit together in a circle, and the grad, I'll just use Jonah as an example. Jonah went around and told each of those people what he appreciated about them and how they had influenced and had significance in his life. And then after we did that, we gave those people a chance to speak into Jonah's life or the grad's life, and just to encourage them as they were going on in their faith journey and in their career path. And it's not specifically an Advent thing or a Christmas thing or an Easter thing, but it definitely is a building each other up in the Lord thing. And it was something that both our kids and the people who were invited to attend said was so significant for them as well. All right, Agnes, now that your children and grandchildren are grown, how have you been able to use your gifts and experiences to encourage and serve others?
Well, first of all, when you serve, at least I find when I serve, I am often more blessed than the people I'm serving. And the other thing, these days I am very grateful for my car, and I thank the Lord forever that I can drive and that it works well, because so much of my serving is by picking up ladies who aren't driving anymore or never did drive, and I'm able to bless them by taking them out to the hairdresser or going for lunch. And another one, I picked up my neighbor now for a number of years, but not now because of COVID has shut things down. But we were going to the Harvest Hills Bethany Care Center, and we went every Wednesday. And the Catholic ladies had started this volunteer program, and they called themselves the Noisy Ladies. And they asked us to join, and we had so much fun. The residents would come into the main room, and we would sing and dance with them. And some of the songs, we chose all the old songs that they knew when they were young. And some of them knew all the words. I had to use a cheat sheet, but some of them knew all the words. Or if they weren't singing, all of a sudden you'd see their hands tapping. So it was very, I believe they really enjoyed it. And I was blessed by doing that. And I have a beautiful 97-year-old friend who lives in a nursing home. And I'll drive there, and we'll share recipes together. We'll talk about our faith and about our family life. And it really blesses me. And then as seniors, there were home Bible studies. Well, I found it more and more challenging to drive at night because my eyes can't always see the street signs or the house numbers. And I thought one day, why don't we just have one in the afternoon? There's lots of seniors. So I threw the challenge out to a few folks, and I had for about 5 or 6 years, I think, we had an afternoon study at my house, and we were so blessed, and we had fellowship together, had Bible study and prayer and chatted. It was just a great time and easy for everybody to get there. And unfortunately, the last one we had was in 2019, and we haven't opened up since. And when I'm not, sometimes the Holy Spirit just nudges me and nags me to do something, but I say, well, I don't really feel like it. I don't want it. Are you sure I need to do that? But finally, I have to give in, and I do obey, and it really blesses me when I finally obey. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at a proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's the challenge today.
Thank you, Agnes. And you're such a great example to all of us, too, having been a mom and a grandmother and just continuing to serve the Lord through your whole life. It's inspirational. So thank you. Well, Carolyn, we have a great kids program here at the church. But I was wondering if you could tell me, how do you help your children grow in understanding and connection to the bigger church?
I'll just start by saying, when I grew up in church, First Baptist in Regina, we were always involved with the church. Our usual Sunday activities and youth group, I also was in the choir and playing violin and doing everything. So I feel like growing up, that was just sort of a natural thing to be involved in the church. And when my husband and I moved here to Calgary in 2013, we had two kids who were 1 and 2 at the time, and we actually found Harvest Hills before we even moved here on Google Maps, because it was close to my husband's work, and we thought, I wonder what church that is. So we looked up online, and we thought Myron was a great preacher, and we really thought the ministries and opportunities here at the church would meet us where we were at. At the time, there were some moms groups, and there was Bible studies for women and men, and lots of children's ministries and opportunities. And then when we moved here in June of 2013, our first Sunday that we came here, my husband and I were sitting in the congregation, and that was graduation Sunday. And the whole stage was just lined up with high school graduates. And it just really made an impact on us of how, when you can have that number of young people still connected with the church by the time they're at the end of high school, it made us feel like this is going to be a good place for our kids to grow up and be involved here. And so I've really appreciated the nursery and the Sunday schools we've had, and used to go to the Wednesday morning Bible studies for women, and I so appreciated the children's the child care they had those mornings, and my kids just loved it. And we came Friday mornings for our mom's group, and they were so comfortable at the church here. So I feel like we've really missed that this past year, that's for sure. But as they've gone into school age, we've been homeschooling, and so we can't come to the church as much as we used to be able to. But one last thing was just really neat. Last November, we recorded for our Christmas time here, we recorded did a music video, and we did it at my acreage. And so it was so neat for my kids to be able to see that, and we're so inspired by all the adults who are doing this, and they were even encouraged to listen, and by even less than halfway through, by a quarter of the way through, they were already involved, being allowed to be involved with, you know, they're looking through the camera, and they thought it was awesome they got to push the start button and everything. So I think just being able to see other adults and other people doing ministry and being so passionate about it has been had a really strong impact on them. And so I look forward to, I guess, being able to be more involved again. I know it's hard right now with everybody, but hopefully things will open up soon and we can do that again.
So. For sure. And we love having your kids on camera, Carolyn, and helping film music videos. Well, I know for myself, when our kids were little, I started here on staff the day that my youngest started kindergarten. And even before that, I was involved conducting the choir, and Bob was in the choir, and so we were here a lot. And so, as a result, our kids were here a lot. And it was cool, because this building became like their second home. Mm-hmm. And they felt very free, you know, terrorizing and running around in the building and just, I don't know if I want this to get out. But when Jake was a little older, we'd be here and Jake would run in and say, "Hey, I found a new way to get onto the roof. That makes 7. And those kinds of things. And, you know, I obviously did not want him to go onto the roof. However, they just felt so good being here, and to see them having grown up and be involved in worship and media and youth leaders, it's so rewarding to see them grow up in that capacity. And so for those of you who have kids who are younger, I just want to say, when things open up again, or you know what, even on Sunday mornings when you're watching these services, bring them to church with you. Let them see you sing. Let them see you worship. Let them see you tithe. Let them see you pray. Let them see you as parents be engaged, because that makes a huge impact on them. And they will grow to love the church as they see the parents love the church. All right, IJ, tell me about how you have taught Psalm 121 to your kids and how that's been meaningful for you.
Okay, Psalm 121 is a psalm I grew up with, and it has everything in it. So initially, I thought I could teach my kids to say it in my language, Igbo. My mom came when she first visited us. It was a challenge for her, but she gave up and then taught them how to say it in English, because that's the only thing they know. You know, and that psalm, it means so much to me, because it's a psalm that always reminds me of who God is in my life. You know, it's a psalm that gives me the assurance, the security, the strength, and the hope to live every single day of my life. Because when you read through the psalm, you know, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from the Father who maketh the heavens and the earth. And he that keepeth Israel does not slumber nor sleep. So it gives me so much assurance, so much hope that regardless of what I'm going through, that God still understands. And also why I taught the psalm to my kids is that I might not be there every single time to pray for them. There are times that they need to pray for themselves. Not because they don't want to talk to me about what they are going through, but it also gives them that independence that regardless of what they are going through, that God will understand. And if they speak it, if they talk about it to God, he understands and he will do it for them.
Awesome. Thank you, IJ. Well, as I said earlier, none of us up here are claiming to have all the answers or even some of the answers. And we've all had our fair share of parenting failures. But ladies, if you could give one piece of encouragement or advice to the moms who are in earlier stages of mothering, what would it be, Carolyn?
Something that a friend of mine told me when both of us, we had just had little babies, our first ones, she reminded me that every stage is a phase and that it won't last forever. And so if whether it's, you know, the stages of they don't sleep through the night or a stage of when they start their preteen years or whatever, but that they won't last forever and it's the stages will change for good or for bad, because we need to enjoy those good little phases too that they go through. So every stage is a phase and it won't last forever.
Thanks, Carolyn. IJ, how about you?
For me, I will only say that not every single time you feel like praying or even talking to God, because it can be overwhelming. For me, what helped me or what got me through, or I'm still a learning in progress, is that I have this deep conversation with God every single time I'm going through a lot. And the conversation I'm talking about is like, God, you know, I don't want to talk to you today because this. You have to come to my rescue because I can't do this all by myself, you know. And to tell you the truth, after I do this, I feel so good. I don't know how, but I feel that I have talked to someone that can deal with it, you know. In as much as I might not really see the response or the result that I need right away, but the only thing I want to say is hold on to that which you believe in, which is the Bible, because it has everything. And I'm not saying that it's going to be perfect every single time you talk about it or you want to believe it. But the only thing is that God will give you the grace to know that he's there.
Thank you, IJ. Agnes, how about you?
Well, I would certainly agree with all of that, all that's been said. And I also would say, study your Bible, because that's, the world has many things to offer you, and there's much confusion. Just go back to the Word and compare Scripture with Scripture and fill your heart with that and with prayer, and the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you to the truth, and hold on to that.
Excellent. Yeah, I just love what you guys are sharing there. And I think the one thing that I would say that was significant for me and for our kids as they were growing up is just really trying to make spiritual conversations as natural as talking about the weather. And so there were times where we would intentionally gather and do something, you know, in that regard. But then there are those like little conversations where you want God to be a part of everything. And so as a parent then, how can I bring God into this situation and just have those natural conversations that occur when we can talk about faith and prayer and talk about how God meets us in our needs. And so that would be the one thing that I would say is just try and make those conversations about God be as natural as talking about the weather. Well, I have one more question that I want to ask everybody, and that is this: what is a verse of scripture that you cling to in the stage of life that you're in now and why? Agnes?
Thank you, Sherry. The prophet Habakkuk lived about 600 BC, and the book opens with this, Habakkuk's complaints, and I can actually put my name there, Agnes's complaints. How long, Lord, must I call for help? Why do you not answer me? Are you listening to me? But then God, the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on a tablet so that a herald can run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. And God's past faithfulness demands my trust for today.
Thank you, Agnes. IJ.
You know, well, it's not just one verse for me. I have lots and lots of verses that speaks to me, especially in this situation we find ourselves. You know, I already planned that I was going to say still Psalm 121, verse 4. But then I have this leading to say that this verse, I can't remember where it is in the Bible, but we all know it, be still and know that I am God. And that verse, even as we're going through what we're going through today, in the stillness, God still speaks. So regardless of what we're going through, he's not going to change from being God. But the only thing we need to know is that we need to be still in his presence so that we can tap into what he has for us.
Thanks, IJ. Carolyn, what's a verse that's been meaningful to you lately?
For me, I just, first of all, want to say how much all you moms with older kids who are, everybody's growing and learning still at every stage of life, but I feel like my kids are still so young and have so much growing, and so many times I feel like I'm messing up and just, are they going to make it? And just wanting to be, realizing how intentional we need to be. We can't just hope that they will turn out okay, but to be intentional about it. And a little while ago, I came across a couple verses from Colossians, and this was Paul and Timothy were talking about the church in Colossae, but this totally applies to any mom, any parent. So it's Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and they say, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. So that's just my prayer for my kids.
That's awesome. I would like to thank you, Carolyn, IJ, and Agnes, for joining me today and just sharing the ways that God has met you in your mothering. And I'm going to share a verse in a minute, but I just want to remind everybody, if you would like prayer following the service, just click on the link that's on Facebook Live or on YouTube, and you'll be put into a private prayer room so you can have that. I'm just going to share the verse that has been meaningful to me and then close in prayer. The verse that I chose was Joshua 1:9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go and wherever your child may go. Let's pray together. Father, give us the strength and grace to do what you ask, to do what you commanded us to do, to be strong and courageous. Fill us with your spirit and make us bolder. With our eyes on you, give us the courage to step out in strong faith and boldness, knowing that you are with us, knowing that you are our light and salvation, and knowing that we do not need to be afraid. Help us today, Father, to choose not to be discouraged, to believe it when you say that you will be with us wherever we go. Father, help us today to know that you will never leave us or forsake us, to know that we do not walk alone, to know that you go before us and you are for us. Fill us with your peace. Wash over us with the knowledge of your presence. Father, bless your children this morning as we leave. May we go in peace and may we go in love. May we go in courage and in strong faith, knowing that you will be with us every step of the way. We pray this all in the wonderful, strong name of Jesus. Amen. Have a great Mother's Day, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today. And a special thank you to our panelists, Agnes, Carolyn, and IJ, led by Pastor Sherry. Thanks for your vulnerability and wise words. Happy Mother's Day to you all. Now these words from 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you as you go into the remainder of your day to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus.